Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, O Lord, and we bless you for having brought us together, O God, as a family in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you will cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb even right now, that the altars of our heart will be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, so that we may ascend into the hill of the Lord, so that we may ascend into the mount of the Lord, so that we may ascend into the presence of the Most High God. For you are the Most High, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that this is your covenant name that you mean to unveil in our hearts, Father. A covenant name that you mean to establish in us as a growing Passover, Father. That we will be unveiled to who you are and all that you are, Father, as the Most High God. And in realizing, O God, your absolute exaltedness, Father, above everything and anything, Lord, that our hearts and our minds, O God, will see and understand things in a new reality, Father. In a reality in which, O God, you are Most High. That you are most exalted, that you are most powerful, Father. That you are the only God who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, Father. And so, Father, as we bow our hearts today, we ask you, Lord, to unveil the covenant realities of the Most High God. Open our hearts. Write your word into our hearts. Remove from us every hindrance of flesh and spirit, Lord, that stands against the knowledge of you. And in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, open us, O God, to the reality that we are a covenant people set apart unto you, Father. A covenant people who are called to understand and know the reality of the Most High God. So bless us, O God, in this covenant name as you unveil this reality, Father, to us, Father. Cause us to know and understand that we stand before you, O Lord, at the speed of thought, Father. We stand before you in the merits of the Lamb. We stand before you and we are enabled to function in you, Father, by the Holy Spirit. So bless our hearts that we will understand what is being manifested to us, Father. Today, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Module 8 and we are on the covenant name of God. And today we want to open the first of the covenant names of God. So turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Commencing from verse 18. Genesis chapter 14. Commencing from verse 18. It is our desire to unveil God as a covenant God. That we need to understand and see God as a covenant God. And the reality of covenant is entirely dependent on who God is and all that God is. The details of covenant, as God opens that covenant to our hearts, is an expression of who God is and all that God is. Today we want to look at God as the Most High God. And so in verse 18 of chapter 14, we read, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he," that is Abram, "gave him a tithe of all." Praise the Lord. This is the first covenant name of God, and it's called God Most High. El Elyon. El Elyon. And we see here that Abram, after a victory, comes before Melchizedek, king of Salem, who brings out bread and wine. In the flow of Scripture, we know that bread and wine are prophetic symbolisms of the covenant that we have with God. They are prophetic symbolisms of the covenant that we have with God. From our past teachings, we know that bread represents the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus open to us, that unveils to us the I Am of God. And we know that wine represents life. Wine represents blood. Wine is the witness of the cross of Jesus Christ. It symbolizes, in prophetic terms, to be fulfilled in each one of us, the means by which we are going to function in God. It is through a witness of blood, water, and spirit that we are going to be enabled to function in God. Wine represents the life that Christ brings. The life of Christ that we come to receive and realize through a living witness. So bread and wine are prophetic elements. And bread and wine are prophetic elements of a Passover that God has opened to us from the time we are born again. In this Passover, we are called to rise into the mount of the Lord, into a reality of the Most High God. So when God introduces Himself as the Most High God, the realities of the Most High God are realities that are unveiled in the heights. I just want to talk to you about this today, right? The heights. That God is the Most High, and we are called to rise into the Mount of the Lord. And in the Mount of the Lord, there are many heights, different heights. In the case of, let me illustrate this by us turning to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel. Chapter 28. We are looking here at a passage of scripture that looks at Lucifer. Verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. So this is the place that God has ordained for His sons. And it's called the Mount of the Lord, the Mount of God. And Lucifer walked in that reality. Verse 16 tells us that he sinned, and therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 18, you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. Now these sanctuaries are realities of God. And in these realities of God, Lucifer had several sanctuaries open to him. Sanctuaries in which he was able to function in God. Now the reason why we are talking about this is because in Christ Jesus, all of these realities that Lucifer knew are open to us. That we are also open to the Mount of God. And in the Mountain of God, as we unveil the covenant names of God, each of the covenant names of God is a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary in which we can live, move, and have our being. It's a sanctuary in which we live, move, and have our being. Today we want to open the sanctuary of the Most High God. And by principle, this is the reality of an ascent into the Mount of the Lord. And this is an ascent we have talked about in modules past. You find David talking about this ascent in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Let's just read that very quickly. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. So we are called to ascend into the Mount of the Lord. And the Mount of the Lord is an expression of the reality of the Most High God. And as you ascend into this mount, you come alive more and more to the Most High God. And this reality of the Most High God is a reality we occupy by position. And all of us are called to rise into the Mount of the Lord and occupy the position that God has ordained for us. All right? That God has ordained for us. So in order to ascend into the Mount of the Lord, you need to have a heart. And that heart must be a clean heart. And your deeds must be right before God. And so you find that your ascent into the Mount of the Lord is dependent on what you are doing. It is dependent on what's in your heart. And as God works into you, that the deeper and deeper realities of the Word of God into you, as you receive and realize revelation knowledge of what God has purposed to unveil inside of you, you keep on rising into the mount of the Lord. And this ascent will go on forever and forever and forever and forever. All right? Can you understand that in principle? All right? Let's look at another verse. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 14. You know the story behind this. Abraham speaks these words just after God stops him from slaying his son Isaac. So in verse 14 it reads, "And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." So your ascent into the mount of the Lord defines what you really have in God. And the purpose of this ascent, and I'm talking spiritual language here, the purpose of this ascent is so that God can provide for you in accordance with who He is and all that He is. As your heart is open to Him, as your heart comes alive to Him, as your deeds are perfected in Him, right? And God is building you to occupy this place that He has for you. So if you look at your ministry that God has got for you, it is part and parcel of what God wants to perfect you in so that you can occupy the place that He wants you to occupy. So as you do your ministry the right way, as you live your life the right way, as you choose to walk before God, as you choose to live your life before God from your heart, God is in the process of unveiling you into a position in the mount of the Lord. And the purpose in which you are being unveiled in the mount of the Lord is so that you can manifest God's provision. That you can be the vessel through whom God can manifest His position. And you need to understand this. Alright? And all this, your ability to receive and realize of what God has for you, is part and parcel of your covenant with God. Or rather, God's covenant with you. So when Jesus says, "In my name you can ask for anything and it will be given to you, it will be done for you," it is all part and parcel of this reality. Because we rise into the mount of the Lord as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember 1 John chapter 3 verse 3? It says that as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are purified even as He is pure. And the purpose for which you are being purified as He is pure is so that you can ascend into the mount of the Lord. So that you can take hold of the position that God has ordained for you from the foundations of the earth. Right? Because you are a chosen instrument of God. And so you must realize that as you grow in your ministry and do these things that God has asked you to do, you must also realize that it is part of a greater plan that God has for you. So if you are given a ministry and you are asked to do the things that God has for you, we are asked to live the life that God wants you to live, there is a greater purpose to all of that, right? So although you may struggle with things you have to face, you have to go through burdens that you have to overcome, that you have to overcome things that stand against you, it is all part and parcel of God unfolding a bigger plan in your life. And you must be very, very sensitive to this. Because you are a chosen instrument of the Lord. That the Word of God has been given to you in the name of Jesus. So that by the Holy Spirit you will receive that Word in Jesus' name. And be able to ascend into the mount of the Lord. And occupy that position that God has for you. And that position is entirely dependent on who Jesus Christ is to you. Because a pure heart and clean hands can only come to you in and by and through the fullness of Jesus Christ manifested in your heart, manifested in your life. You cannot be a good man without Jesus Christ. Right? Being a good man is just expressing some measure of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is good. He is the I Am of God revealed to you. And you can only be good as you give expression to Jesus Christ from the altars of your heart. So the fragrance of your heart must be the Lord Jesus who has come to you as your master and your beloved. The person on whom you are fully dependent on for this new life that God wants to give you. So as you receive and realize more and more of Jesus Christ, you receive and realize of the Passover that God has opened to you. And this Passover takes you into the Mount of the Lord. So in the Holy Communion passage in Luke chapter 22 from verse 14 to verse 20, the key words there are Jesus saying, remember me. Because this remembrance of him is integral, is the heart of the position that you have before God. How you remember Jesus is how God is going to honor you in the position that he wants you to occupy. So the more you can remember Jesus, and remembering Jesus is not a mental thingy, it is a witness inside of you. A witness in blood, water and spirit. A witness in the cross, right? He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. And that witness, 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 says, is a witness in spirit, water and blood. And that witness of spirit, water and blood is the witness of the cross. Amen. It's the means by which God has provided for you the realities of his name. So as Abraham comes to Melchizedek, Melchizedek brings out bread and wine. And bread and wine are prophetic symbolisms of the Passover of the Lamb. And the Passover of the Lamb is so that the descendants of Abraham will ultimately stand in the Mount of the Lord. They will stand before the Most High God. Can you understand that? Okay? So the name of God that is presented in Genesis chapter 14 is the name of God that is called El Elyon, the Most High God. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, verse 18. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High. So Abram belongs to God Most High. And who is God Most High? God Most High is possessor of heaven and earth. Can you see that in verse 19? God Most High is possessor of heaven and earth. Inherent in the name God Most High is the exaltedness of God. The exaltedness of God. That he is above everything else. It's very important that you think of God in those terms. And if you understand and know that God is Most High, you will never be shaken in your walk in the world that we live in. No matter what confronts you, you will understand that the evil one has got no power over you because you belong to God Most High. You will not be shaken by what people say or what happens to you. Because you belong, you are of God Most High. Because you are a partaker of the Passover of the Lamb. Are you with me? You are a living member of the body of Christ. And you are so because of the merits of the Lamb imputed to you. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ has been manifested over your life. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is meant to be revealed through your life. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is meant to mature your life and your being so that you will be a chosen instrument of God. So God is the most exalted one. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. There's nothing that happens in heaven and earth that he does not know of, that he is not in charge of. So when you see evil manifest in the world that we live in, you must always understand that you stand before the Most High God and you are blessed. You are blessed in the name of the Lord God Most High. The Most High God represents a reality of the overwhelming majesty of God. Overwhelming, above everything else that anything in the world, anything in the created universe can conceive, stands the reality of God. No matter how much we learn in all eternity, God stands well and above the collective realization of all of the creation. He stands well and above all of that. And God demonstrated this to Lucifer and one third of the angels who rebelled against him when he dismissed Lucifer and one third of the angels at the speed of lightning. It was only at that point that Lucifer realized how powerful God was. Until then, he had all kinds of ideas about becoming God. But when God threw him out, he threw him out at the speed of lightning. Not only him, he threw him and one third of the angels. You're talking about millions of angels. Millions of angels who had rebelled against God. And God dismissed them at the speed of lightning. Now all these guys thought they were something in themselves. They thought that collectively they were very powerful. But when God manifested the reality that He is Most High, Satan was dismissed at the speed of lightning. So Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So you need to understand that you are of God Most High. You belong to Him, not because you deserve to be or I deserve to be, but because we are all purchased in the blood of the Lamb. We have been brought into this awesome Passover that is an expression of grace upon grace. That in the merits of the Lamb, we have a position before the Most High God. You didn't earn it, and I didn't earn it, and we will never earn it. But it is a position given to us as we receive and realize of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? So the bread and wine represent the prophetic dimensions of the fullness of Jesus Christ. The bread representing the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The substance of His fullness. Substance being represented by that Greek word hypostasis. You remember that word? Alright? Substance. You know also from Leviticus chapter 21 verse. Let's look at that. Leviticus chapter 21. Verse 22. Moses makes mention of something here that he doesn't talk about very much. Verse 22, he says, he may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and the holy. There are two kinds of bread. The bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. The Bible doesn't talk about, the Old Testament doesn't talk about the bread of the most holy. You only see that in the book of Hebrews. And I don't want to do that today, right? It's found in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 3 and 4. It is called the manna. Alright, the manna. And in Revelation chapter 2, it is called the hidden manna. And because it was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was called the Ark of the Name. Right? The Ark that was in the Holy of Holies was called the Ark of the Testimony. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was also called the Ark of the Name. And this bread of the Most Holy was a jar of manna that was put into the Ark of the Covenant. It's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 3 and 4. So this is the bread of the Most Holy. And it represents the hidden manna of the name of God. Alright? The hidden manna of the name of God. The bread of the holy is called the bread, the showbread. It's called the bread of the presence. Alright? And that is mentioned in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. Shall we look at that very quickly? Exodus chapter 25 verse 30. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and this is what it reads. If you have a King James Bible, it's called the showbread. But here it says, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. So the bread of the holy is the bread of the presence, and the bread of the most holy is the hidden manna of the name of God. All right? And this bread and this wine, the wine represents the new life that comes forth as you eat of this bread. Okay? Are you with me? Right? Now, this bread is the substance of covenant. All right? This bread is the substance of covenant. All right? It's the substance of covenant. The prophet Jeremiah writes about it in Jeremiah chapter 15. Let's turn to that very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, right? So the bread exists. The bread is unveiled to us through the word of God. And that bread exists in the bread of the holy, which is the presence of God. And the bread of the most holy, which unveils the name of God. And that's why when Jeremiah eats of the words, the words were found, right? We don't know how he found those words, but he talks about the words were found and I ate them. How do you eat words, right? What it means is he consumed the words, right? He did this in the spirit. Because if you read verse 14 and verse 15 and verse 17, he's totally in a different world. But suddenly he comes alive to God and he says, I found your words and I ate your words and oh my goodness, Lord, they were a joy to me. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Those words just went straight into my heart. All right? And he says, I belong to you, God. Right? I am called by your name. Can you see that? I am called by your name. All right? So it is through, right, this mystery, right, that you come alive, this mystery of the Passover, that is unveiled to us in the prophetic elements of bread and wine, that we come alive to the name of God, right? And these prophetic elements are described through the word of God. And they are thy word, O God. Thy word, O God. The word that stands according to who God is and all that God is. You find that in Psalm 138 verse 2. That there is a realm of the word that stands glorified according to who God is and all that God is. There is a realm of the word that describes the name of God. There is a realm of the word that makes God alive to us. Are you listening? And that realm of the word that makes God alive to us is what Jeremiah suddenly in the spirit, he just says, I found thy words and I ate them. They were your words. And they became a joy and a delight to my heart. And oh Lord, I am called by your name. Right? And as these words unveil inside of us, we come to belong to God. Can you catch the picture? Alright? And this reality is a covenant reality. Alright? This reality is a covenant reality. And this reality, God has to fashion and form into your heart and my heart. He has to fashion and form it in the bread of life. He has to fashion and form it in the substance of the Master's fullness. And in that reality, as that begins to be formed inside of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 says, we become servants of a new covenant. Right? But this covenant is written in our heart of flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. And our heart are not like the tablets of stone that Moses received from God. Those tablets of stone were written on symbolically, prophetically, by the finger of God. And those tablets, Exodus calls the workmanship of God, correct? Right? Exodus 31 verse 18, right? Moses goes up into the mount of the Lord. And he receives two tablets of stone. The Bible says in that verse, Exodus 31 verse 18, that those tablets of stone were written by the finger of God. We go to chapter 32 in verse 15 and verse 16. Again, God talks about those tablets and he says those tablets are the work of God. And everything that was written on it was written by God. comes to the New Testament, Paul takes it up and he says, God doesn't write on tablets of stone anymore. You are the letter of Christ. You are the epistle of Christ. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. That human hearts of flesh is of the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? Amen. So when we're talking about the covenant names of God, we're talking about something that is awesomely personal to each and every one of us. All of us are open to this reality based on the merits of the Lamb. It is not based on whether you are super educated or you're super spiritual. It is open to you because it is written in the Word of God. It is the means by which God makes covenant with you. You must understand that the Bible is a book of covenant. That the intent of the Bible is to manifest the testimony of God so that God can make covenant with you personally. Amen. Under the Old Testament, it was a covenant of the law. Under the New Testament, it's a covenant of grace. Because this covenant is going to be formed in your heart, and this covenant is going to be 100% the work of God. And the purpose of this covenant is to make you alive to the person who calls himself the God Most High. Right? Are you with me? You must understand this, that this covenant is an ascent into the mount of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you are required to understand that God says, my name, Yahweh Yireh, is provided for you in the mount of the Lord. It's not provided for you just simply. It is provided in the mount of the Lord. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And the mount of the Lord is the reality of God that is open to your heart. Amen. So to be alive to the mount of God, all it requires is for you to have your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. We have done this verse before. Right? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. And the presence of God grows into a mountain of reality. Are you with me? And you are behind it at the speed of thought, depending on where your hope is fixed on. So all of us have a place behind the mount of the Lord, behind the veil in the mount of the Lord. It has been given to you grace upon grace. The question is, are you willing to cultivate that reality so that it becomes an online reality for you all the time? Okay? And you can live and move and have your being in this reality at the speed of thought. If you can focus your thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ continuously, you are in the presence of God continuously. So this is nothing impractical about it. All right? So you will always find that one of the things that Satan tries to do is tries to scare you, tries to get you into his playing field. Right? He either uses anger, he uses lust, he uses whatever, he uses worry, he uses fear, whatever it is to get you on his playing field. What is the purpose? To get you out of your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the battle is all about. Because once he's got you on his playing field, he can kick you about like a football. But if you are anchored behind the veil, he can't touch you. Right? So if you are feeling worried and you are feeling that you are, my goodness, life is going to pass me by and people are going to do this and do this to me and whatnot. Nothing happens in your life unless God allows it. Right? You remember Job? What did Satan tell God? If you have a hedge around him, I can't touch him. Right? Unless you remove that hedge. Right? I can't touch him. There's nothing I can do to touch him. Correct? So when you look at things, when you go through difficulties, when you go through the valley of darkness, always remember as a Christian, God has allowed that to happen in your life. And you may say, why? And it is to build your faith in the Lord, to teach you to cling to him. And you may say, oh Lord, isn't that wicked? And the Lord says, no, it is to make you walk by the Spirit. It is to teach you to walk by the Spirit. It's to stop you from living in a carnal comfort zone. Right? I want you to rise into the mount of the Lord. Right? Do you realize that the only time we turn to God is when we are in trouble? Otherwise, you're very happy. Oh, God has blessed me and I've got a nice house and a nice car and the ministry is growing, you know. And everything is nice and fine and dandy. Right? So soon we find that we pray 5 minutes in the morning, we read one chapter out of obligation and we carry on with our life and we lose touch with God. Right? So God has to shake us up every now and then, so He decides to move us into the, right? Into the dark side and say, now will you find me or not? Alright? Okay. But in principle, you are open to the mount of the Lord at the speed of thought. You are open to the mount of the Lord at the speed of thought. So in principle, you need to understand that being opened to the mount of the Lord is something that is available to you by grace at the speed of thought. All you have to do is exercise that grace by setting your hope on the Lord. And you are open to the reality of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. And this is very important that you understand this, because this is a spiritual reality of grace. And you have to choose and develop your ministry and your life in this reality. You cannot develop it by just carnal religious fervor. You have to understand what the Word of God is telling and walk into it. So you must understand, when God teaches you the Word of God, He teaches you the Word of God by writing the Word of God in your heart. That is His way. Because His intent of teaching you the Word of God is so that He can form covenant with you. So that you can become the instrument He wants you to become. And it is His covenant that He wants to form in your heart. You and I have no other choice but to accept and obey. Because He is God. So you remember the initial teachings in module 2 about how you receive the Word of God. First thing is you must listen. Second thing is you must make sure you understand. The third thing about the Word of God is that you must accept the Word of God. Right? You accept the Word of God. The fourth reality is that you must hold the Word of God fast in your heart. Hold it fast in a good heart and persevere with that Word of God so that it will bear fruit in your life. Okay? And the whole purpose of all that is so that God can form covenant in your heart. And this is very practical. You can measure it as you grow in the Lord. You will measure it in the strength of your thoughts. You will measure it in the way you speak, the way your nature has changed, the way your belief system has been transfigured in the light of God's knowledge manifested to your heart. And all this is verifiable. This is not some super spiritual reality. This is the real thing. And it will bear witness in your life. It will bear witness in your situations and your circumstance. It will bear witness in your relationships. It will bear witness in your character. It will bear witness in how you speak, how you think, how you behave, how you minister to others. And in that whole process, God is doing a work that is His workmanship. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God is the Most High God. And you belong to the Most High God. The day you were born again, you passed over from out of the world into the covenant of God, into the kingdom of God. You didn't earn it. It was given to you entirely in the merits of the Lamb. So understand that you are a son unto God. That is a position God has given you. You have to receive and realize that position. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus says, remember me, because that position is given to you entirely in my merits. It's given to you entirely in my name. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. I paid the price for it, says the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You need to understand this. Right? Because you are a unique creation in God. You may not think so, but God is telling you through your word that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That He has an amazing destiny for you. And that destiny is not dependent on how wonderfully you can do things on your own. That destiny is based on what God can do in you and what God can do with you and what God can do through you. Which is why we are doing the covenant names of God, because we as Christians must think God first. Because if you don't think God first, your thoughts are all screwed up. They will be all over the place. Your thinking processes will think all kinds of fancy stuff, putting you as something big in yourself. But if you put God first, you will always find yourself as being fully submitted to Him. Because you cannot manipulate God. God is absolutely supreme. So God starts with Abraham by saying, I am the Most High God, don't play games with me. That's what it really means. Don't play games with me. I am Most High. You belong to me. I am possessor of heaven and earth. What I say goes. And nobody can change that. Nobody can change that. The Jews are in their land because God gave Abraham a promise. That's all. They're not there because they deserve to be there, because they are spiritually superior to the rest of the nations of the world. Nothing like that. It is simply because God made a covenant with one man. And because He made that covenant with one man, He is honoring His word. Which is why nobody will be able to ever defeat the nation of Israel. Because God is by covenant bound to defend them. But you can be sure He will correct them. And when He corrects them, it will be very painful. In fact, He has corrected them very painfully over history. But there is no doubt that He will give them what is their right. What is their right through the covenant He made with Abraham. It was a God-given right. It is not subject to the arguments and philosophies of man. Yeah? But you must understand, in God's reality of the covenant, those who dwell with them in their land are subject to equal rights. Let me show you that. Leviticus. Chapter 19. Verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. So God says equal rights for the stranger who is not of their own ethnic group, but they are to be given equal rights. That is also part of God's covenant. So when you look at the Middle East, everybody has a place, both Palestinian and Jew. But it is a Jewish land. But you can live there with equal rights. All right, this is all out of the topic that we were talking about. So God is talking about the Most High God. And you are part and parcel of the Most High God. All right? You are in covenant with Him. That is God's intent. All right? So let's turn to Genesis again. Genesis chapter 14. Let's look at Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. For God who performs all things for me. Isn't that interesting? Right? Now, the name of God mentioned here is Elohim Elyon. Right? In Genesis chapter 14, it was El Elyon. Here, it is called Elohim Elyon. All right? Elohim is God in Hebrew. All right? Psalm 57, verse 2. Let me just look at this from the New American Standard. It says, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me, God who performs all things for me, God who accomplishes all things for me. So when you walk before the Most High God, you must expect and understand that God will perform all things in your life. God will accomplish all things in your life. It is part and parcel of the reality of the Most High God in your life. And it's got nothing to do with whether you prayed 24 hours of the day. This is the reality of God Himself. This is what He is in Himself. That in the reality of the Most High God, He will perform all things in your life. Obviously, He will perform it on His terms. He will not perform it on your terms. And that's where the problem comes. We want God to do things the way we think He should be doing it. Right? But when you come before the Most High God, He is absolutely sovereign. And He says, I will perform all things in your life. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Right? I will perform all things in your life. I will accomplish all things in your life. So in the New American Standard, the word is accomplished is used. In the New King James Version, it is the word that is used is He will perform. Amen? He will perform. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let's look at another verse. All right? Let's look at another verse. Here, God uses the term for His name, Yahweh Elyon. And you find that in Psalm 47, verse 2. Psalm 47, verse 2. For the Lord Most High, that is Yahweh Elyon, all right? Yahweh Elyon is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us. Listen to the words, under us, all right? And the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us. Praise the Lord. He will choose. When you come before God, the Most High, He is absolutely sovereign. And He will choose your inheritance. But it also says He will bring the nations under your feet. Are you listening? Correct? Now let's look at it in the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. He put all things under His feet, that is the Father put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. All right? So this reality of the Most High God is open to us. Every blessing in the Most High God is open to us in the prophetic dimensions of bread and wine. And bread and wine are prophetic expressions of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is as Jesus Christ unveils Himself as head over us. As we receive and accept Jesus Christ as head over our lives, only then do we have authority over all nations. All things. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Provided Jesus is head, the church is able to walk into all things in His merits. But if He's not the head, we are just talking fleshly theology. And the church has been talking theology for many centuries. This is not a theological statement. This is a statement of fact. Either Jesus is Lord in your heart or he is not. And you can't wing it. You can't theologically explain this into being. It is either manifested in your heart or it's not. All right? And so what is the church? Which is his body, the body of Jesus Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what does bread and wine represent? Bread and wine represents the fullness of Jesus Christ. Fullness in substance, fullness in witness and life. All right? And that's the fullness that will unveil us before the Most High God. And in that reality, God says, I will perform all things in your life. I will give you an inheritance. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And remember, the covenant name of God is Yahweh Elyon. I am who I am. I am the Most High God. Right? I am who I am. I am Most High. Praise the Lord. All right? All right. Now let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you can dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. So you have a position in the Most High God. And that position was purchased for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are called to dwell in that position. How do you dwell in that position? From your heart. Let's turn to Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Right? Speaks the truth in his heart. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. All right? It all comes back to Jesus Christ. It is not, God is not talking about principles here. He's talking about his son. Because only in his son can you walk into the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We are not under the law, we are under grace. But grace only exists in and by and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Take out the name of Jesus and there's no meaning to grace. And we must understand this, right? So it is very important that we know that we have a position before God. And that position is a very important position. And it's a position that is a secret place. That means you have a unique position and it's yours. You don't have to fight with somebody to get it. You don't have to compete to get it. It is yours. It is yours forever. And it's a position that will grow in God forever and forever and forever and forever. Isn't that nice? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Secret place. It is between you and God. So when God writes his covenant into your heart, it's very personal to hold her. Right? You are his son, whether you are male or female, in a unique way. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you need to understand that. No need to compete. It's all been given. All you have to do is to receive and walk into what you receive so that you can realize what you have received. Right? There has to be a realization of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Amen? That realization. Now let's look at verse 9. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. Because you have made the Lord, your dwelling place. Even the Most High God, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It gives you a position of authority. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, says the Lord. Because you have set your love upon him, he will deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. What name is this? The name that is the Most High God. So he says, I will set him on high. So open your heart to the Lord in hope, and God will build inside of you the reality of this position. So remember, one day as you grow in your ministry, that ministry is always unveiled from a position that God has given you before him. And you have to know and understand that position that God has given you. And that position is in accordance with the calling that God has on your life. You must also understand that this is not static. It doesn't mean you're only called to do one thing. Today we start with small beginnings. So in the book of Zechariah it is written, do not despise the day of small beginnings. But understand that God will take you. He will place you on high. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right. Let's look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 30 to 36. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. Where is it going to be tried? In your life. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. Praise the Lord. Sets me upon my high places. So there are not just one high place, there are many high places. So you remember that God opened to Lucifer many sanctuaries, and he defiled all of those sanctuaries. And all of those sanctuaries are covenant realities of God. And they are going to be open to us in the name of Jesus. And they are all going to open to us many high places. Praise the Lord. All right. He sets my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Isn't that nice? And thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. All these are mysteries. All right, I'm just opening them to you so that you understand that David already had ideas of these things because they were real to his life. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 33, I think. Isaiah chapter 33. From verse 15 and 16. And then verse 17. Isaiah 33. He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain. From Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2, you know that such a person has a position in the mount of the Lord. Correct? All right. So he looks and shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe. He who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil, he will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Right? The bread is what we talked about. His bread will be sure. All right? His water will be sure. Your eyes, verse 17, will see the king in his beauty. They will behold a far distant land. So if you go to the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham saw a far distant land. And we also must cultivate our abilities to see the destiny God has opened to us. Amen. Our position in the Most High God. All right? And don't sell it like Esau sold his birthright. Right? Don't sell it for one cup of pottage or whatever it was. One bowl of pottage. Right? Don't sell it. Don't sell it so that you can have things the easy way after God has built you up to a point. You start taking the easy way out. You start developing the carnal way. Don't do that. Right? Keep your eyes on God's long-term plan. It's very important because the Bible is structured on men and women who set their eyes on the long term and were not defeated because things were difficult for them in the situation that they lived in. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So you have a destiny. Take hold of that destiny. And that destiny is before the Most High God. I want to show you someone who screwed it all up. His name was Balaam. I want to show you, you know the story of Balaam, how he prophesied evil over the children of Israel. And then because he prophesied, because he had insight into them, ultimately, right, the enemies of the people of Israel were able to sow the wrong seeds. But let's look at how God refers to Balaam in Numbers chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Numbers chapter 24. Verse 15 and 16. Let's read this. So he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open." Powerful, isn't it? His position. Right? And what did he blow it all up for? For money. He wanted money. Right? He wanted money. Right? And he gave up that whole awesome gifting that God gave him. Right? He had knowledge of the Most High God. And he was willing to sell that for money. All right? And that is a definite no-no before God. All right? That's a definite no-no before God. Now let's look at another warning given to us in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Revelation chapter 2, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam." Now, what is the doctrine of Balaam? Teaching the word of God so that it appeals to the senses of man. Teaching the word of God and cultivating lawlessness. Have you seen such teachings in the church? Teaching things that are in the word of God and make them appealing to the senses of man. Taking the blessings in the body of in the book word of God and making them appeal to the carnal man. Allowing lawlessness to continue. That means you take the word of God, you present it as all promises and honky-dory stuff without bringing the corrections necessary for a person's character and nature. You present the word of God as if it is one big package, like a big marketing package that just panders to the whims and fancies of our carnal nature without demanding that as Christians we have to change in our nature and character. So what we start doing is we start doing things. We have the gifts of God. We start manifesting these gifts in lawlessness. Let me show you where it ends up in. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice lawlessness. All right. What is lawlessness? Let's turn to Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 9. What is lawlessness? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you look at Balaam, he didn't love the fact that he had the knowledge of the Most High God. He didn't appreciate it, he didn't treasure it, and ultimately, he walked out of it. So remember this, right? Don't use the things of God for your own carnal ways. Remember, Satan, Lucifer, defiled all of his sanctuaries. All the sanctuaries that God Most High opened for him. All those sanctuaries in the Mount of the Lord that were opened, he said he walked among the stones of fire. Those stones of fire were living realities of God. Because the book of Genesis says that God is the stone of Israel. If you look at Revelation, he is called a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. So those stones of fire were some kind of an expression of God, unveiled by the Spirit. And Lucifer had free access to walk amongst those stones of fire. The sanctuaries that were open to him in the name of God. And he defiled all of them. Now that's the danger of lawlessness. That's why it is so important that we allow God to change us. There is no blessing without change in character. It is pointless turning out to be an anointed skunk. A skunk is a skunk, anointed or unanointed. Right? And we don't want to be like that. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that it is your purpose to unveil us before the Most High God, that we should belong to you, Father, that we should each have a secret place in the Most High God. A secret place overshadowed by the Almighty God. This is an awesome place of destiny. It is many high places to us, Lord, that you mean to unveil. They are meant to be sanctuaries of your name open to each and every one of us, because that is your purpose with our lives. So we pray that you will remove the carnal way from us so that we will receive and realize this Passover in the merits of the Lamb. And as we receive and realize this Passover, enable us never to forget that Jesus suffered so that we will receive the fulfillment of this position, O God, that you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. So enable us to appreciate and never forget what you have given us. Enable us to appreciate what an awesome witness is being manifested in us. A witness that anchors our soul in the heights. A witness that anchors our inward parts in realities that stand in the mount of the Lord. So Father God, lead us by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, so that we may ascend into the mount of the Lord in a growing Passover, in which we will be your unique vessels, in which we will each become your instruments, O God. So bless each one of us, Lord, and open our hearts to this awesome revelation. Open our hearts to this awesome reality of grace upon grace that you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. Enable us to watch over our hearts, Lord. So we commit our hearts to you, Lord, because it is in our hearts that you are going to write a covenant that is going to express our lives in all eternity, that is going to express our purpose and our ministry in all eternity. Bless us, Father, that we as the body of Christ, we as living members of the body of Christ, will arise, O God, in the fullness of him who must fill all in all, first of all within us, Father, and then through us, Lord, so that he will be supreme in our hearts, Lord. That we will always understand, O God, that he is preeminent, Father. And as we give Jesus the preeminent position in the altars of our heart, we will surely, O God, rise into the mount in the right way. And we will not desecrate the sanctuaries that you open to us, Father. So we ask you, Lord, to bless us by unveiling the spirit of promise within us, Father, that he will direct our pathways in Christ Jesus, so that we will be perfectly, completely, and totally set free from the law of sin and death. We pray this, we celebrate this glorious wonder, Father, this awesome mystery, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.